You might have heard of Comic-Con, happened just the other week, a comic enthusiast convention that's grown into a worldwide celebration of pop culture. Well, brace yourself, caffeine addicts, because this weekend is Coffee-Con over in Chicago.
You can probably guess by the name. It's a festival dedicated to exploring all kinds of coffee beans, roasters, and brewing methods. It was founded by Kevin Sinnott, a well-known coffee expert and the author of The Art and Craft of Coffee. Kevin joins us now. Kevin, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, it's the same time. It's 4:21.
Great. So we're on the same wavelength here. Well, is it a good time for drinking coffee? And what's happening with CoffeeCon?
I guess it's all... the industry would wish me to say it's always a good time to drink coffee, of course. But what's going on at CoffeeCon this year is we've grown a lot. We started off, it's our fourth year, and... We started off just as a lark. I live in a small town west of Chicago, and we got a local grant to, I think they thought we were going to do a little folk music, you know, a little art type stuff, a local arts craft, and then we'd have a couple of coffee makers there. I ended up calling experts I knew from around the world, and that kind of became a world meetup for consumers at a certain level, but frankly, about 70% of the people are people that just like coffee and want to know what it's all about.
And so if someone shows up at CoffeeCon, what are the sort of things that we can learn and try there?
Okay. Well, there are going to be 18 roasters side by side, and these are the 18 of the Midwest best roasters. We have a couple of national brands. You know, Starbucks, of course, shows up, and Pete's. Pete's is actually doing a French press class. We'll have a special tasting seminar. This is kind of unusual with Kenneth Davids. Kenneth, I hate to say this, but he's more famous than I am as a writer. I'm very happy with my book, and I'm sure my publisher is listening. But Kenneth has written three more books than I have. And in fact, the first book I ever read on coffee, he wrote, and he's also the founder of the Coffee Review. And he's done this before, this seminar in Japan. It's about 2 hours long, 2.5, I think it stretches out to, and that's first time in the U.S. That's an extra ticketed item. It's the only thing that is. There's five hands-on brewing labs. You want to learn how to use a Chemex, an AeroPress, French press, siphon, espresso. Honestly, I've written two books on coffee, but the fact is, when I see a new coffee maker method, I don't know how. And the way I've learned over the years is by hands-on with someone, and that's how we're formatting it. Got classes on water. I know you don't believe that, but water, taught by a doctorate in water, a waterology, I'm not sure, grinding, the most important thing in coffee. It's always left off, and grinding is frankly is an underplayer, but really is the most important thing to understanding good brewing. We've also got the 2013 World Turkish Coffee Champion barista, and he'll be there teaching people how to use Turkish coffee makers. And as he's explained it to me, and I'm familiar with the method. In fact, it's featured in my book. I've been doing it wrong. So new edition of the book, that'll get the publisher to hang up. The tickets, let's see. Oh, I've also got something else going down. There's baristas. We have the barista is going to have a grassroots kind of effort there to throw a competition.
We're talking right now to Kevin Sinnott, the founder of CoffeeCon and the author of The Art and Craft of Coffee. Kevin, let's talk about what goes into making a great cup of coffee, because when you were listing some of the things on offer there, you listed a couple of methods I had not even heard of, siphon, and I think you said Chemex or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you had your druthers and you just wanted to make the perfect cup of coffee, what method would you choose and how would you make it?
Okay. And none of these manufacturers, I hope, are listening, because I'm going to pick one. I'm going to pick the Chemex. And the reason I would pick the Chemex, first of all, I have a kind of a patriotic feeling for it. It was invented in the U.S., but the internationalist side of me loves it because it was invented by a man who wasn't born in the U.S.
And what is it? What is a Chemex?
It's a drip maker. It's a drip maker, but it's a special manual drip maker. When I say manual, I mean that you have to boil water in a kettle first. And then I would, it has an ultra-thick but still paper filter, which I like because it gives a very smooth taste. It's like a wine that that's been filtered. You can clearly see through it, but it's very, very flavorful, very aromatic, and it uses a coarse grind. I would make sure the water was under 200 degrees. and probably around 196 or 97. And I would use both a a kettle that had a thermometer attached to it, so that I could understand exactly what temperature I was using, and I would use a great grinder because it does take a coarse grind, and that's the hardest grind to do. And I would also use a scale to weigh it on. I would actually weigh my way there rather than measure just by volume.
Now, this is a lot of effort. A lot of people are going to go to this kind of effort at home. What's a good, as I use a French press at home, say, what's a good quick and dirty way to get roughly the right grind and get a solid coffee every morning?
You know, frankly, the AeroPress is a great way to do it. It's a college student favorite. There's an AeroPress competition. It's very respected. Very simple, though. You get the water kind of hot, and you can make them simple for yourself. It isn't as grind fussy. And it works partly sort of like a halfway between a French press and a drip maker because it doesn't go through at all until you start pressing on it. So you kind of let it steep for a minute, and then you just push it through.
Now, for a while, it seems as though at the cutting-edge coffee places that I had been hearing about, the thing to do was the cold filter.
Oh, yeah.
What is the trendiest version right now?
Yeah, we're gonna have someone doing. I'll mispronounce this. Kyoto, and it's a it might be Kyoto. It's a Japanese style cold brew. I'll be honest with you, and I have had good results from the Kyoto. I'm not a fan generally of cold brew, although frankly it's very popular. And needless to say, this time of year. But yes, it's very popular because it's very easy. It's just like sun tea, you know, it takes a long time. So the error rate is great, meaning no problem with it. If you're off a little bit, you're off an hour or two, that's fine. Considering those of us who do espresso are worried about, seconds, a couple hours is pretty good window. So it's popular, and it's very inoffensive, and it's got a very smoothness, and it solves all the problems that even bad grinding causes, such as bitterness.
Now, some people are really into their coffee, you included, I think, and it's almost like a wine almost. Some people, it's a caffeine delivery vehicle, and it doesn't matter what it tastes like. I'm somewhere in between, but for some people in that second category, can you make the case that it's an opportunity for more than just caffeine, that it's an opportunity for joy?
Yeah, it is, and I once made a comment, and I will stand by it. I would rather have a bad cup of coffee with someone that I like than a great cup of coffee with someone I don't. So I agree with you. It's a sentence-setting drug. Andrew Weil is right. It's who you're with is very important, and I definitely would agree with that. Someone who comes to coffee kind of isn't that into coffee, who's dragged along, let's say, by a significant other, and that happens to me and many people, I'm sure. But they would still have a great time because it's a fun event. I know, you know, the joke about caffeine being the energizer, but frankly, you know, we got online groups that only never seen each other, always had a virtual relationship. They run into each other in person. It's family friendly. We let kids in for free. I mean, it's just very social, and it's also very very fun. I've never lost the zeal, and I'm much more interested in it being a fun event. I also want it to be credible, but I think it's so important. One thing to keep in mind: you mentioned wine. You know, you don't have to learn to brew to vint wine if you want to be a wine connoisseur. You still have to learn to brew coffee, even to make decent coffee. But we can teach you to make coffee, and this is what my promise is. That tastes like it smells.
Kevin, great place to leave it. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Robin Veronica.
We've been speaking to Kevin Sinnott, the founder of CoffeeCon, which will be held in Chicago this weekend.